This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I'm so excited to listen to this song.
I also realized, I'm like, well, we can talk about it. We can talk about it when it's time to talk.
Yeah, let's not talk before we're recording. What's the point of that?
We can't waste all this good tent.
No.
Should we get into
Ooh, I love even just making the word content into biteable content.
Yes. It's all about sound bites. Tent.
Now we're podcasting, baby.
Now we're casting.
It's time for Punch the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
Punch
the Jam.
What's up? If you got Punchhausen by proxy, welcome to the show. That's where we act like a song that we love is in need of punching up, but really it's fine.
And it's our daughter or our son somehow?
These songs are our sons.
Okay. I'm Miel.
And I'm Demi.
And what we do here is we try to make great songs greater.
Yeah. They're not always great, but the record seems to be like, yeah, they're pretty good already. They're popular for a reason.
I mean, today definitely will be that.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be a very critical episode. I'm just guessing.
If you're not going to be critical, then I will go over the top just to shit on this episode, just so we got a nice balance.
Speaking of balance, I'm feeling like there's a really nice addition to our duo here today, and maybe they should have an introduction so they can talk.
Let's introduce them.
I famously don't speak until I'm introduced. It's a thing about me.
Thank you. Until this moment right now.
Yeah, you really ruined that.
You blew your own reputation.
You know her from the supergroup. You know her from Yo, Is This Racist? And soon you'll know her from season 3 of Brockmire. Please welcome Dani Issa!
Hello.
That's a very delicate hello.
I know, because I was like, I can't out-hype Jay-Z.
Yes, you can. It's very easy to do.
Is it?
We haven't punched up Jay-Z yet, but eventually.
Yeah.
Everything about him is hype. The first time I ever heard him go, ho! I was just like, oh, that's the noise.
I feel it is.
That was perfect Jay-Z impression.
Thank you so much. SNL, get at me.
We need someone to impersonate Jay-Z and Jay-Z alone.
It's so nice to finally have you on our podcast, considering we've both been on yours.
Yes.
Yeah, I was thinking it was very rude of you both. No. Thank you. I love
this
being
is the
here.
Exchange.
Thank you for having me.
Truly dying to know what it was about Steely Dan's Dirty Work that you were like, that's the one for me.
Because I remember when I did Yo, Is This Racist,
yes?
I told you about the show and you immediately said Dirty Work.
Okay, because I have had this long time history with this song where I was in denial about what the song was about, despite being told what the song was about. This has always been like my jam. I thought it was about quitting a job for like a boss you hate.
Yeah. It can be.
That's an interesting take.
I never listened to like most of the second verse, I guess. And I know the word. I mean, I've sung it before, but I guess I always conveniently forgot the part that's like when you need a bit of loving because your man is out of town. Like shit like that, I just ignored because I was just like, man, this is about quitting a job.
Well,
I
think it depends on the job.
Yeah.
That could be a job.
I mean, yeah, if you're a sex worker,
it could be oldest job.
But definitely when I was like 19 and quitting my job at Hollywood Video and like blasting this in my Chevy Blazer, I did not know it was about an extramarital affair.
I like you sound so cool though. I want to meet 19-year-old you.
I rock pretty hard.
I love to imagine you storming into your boss's office and be like, I'm a fool to do your dirty work. I don't want to do your dirty work no more.
This is just like that song Dirty Work by Steely Dan. And your boss presumably knew it because he was probably a man.
Probably
he was
40.
Probably in his 40s.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, no, it is not.
This is like ultimate dad rock.
This is like the movie Dirty Work with Norm Macdonald that you can rent outside.
This is like Dirty Work, that show where a guy, oh no, that was called Dirty Jobs.
Yeah. I'm a fool
Mike
to
Rowe?
Do your dirty jobs.
I'm a fool to do your dirty jobs, Mike Rowe. I don't want to work for this
Mike
reality TV anymore.
Oh, that should have been the punch up.
Mike
there's still time.
I'm a fool to do your dirty jobs, Mike Rowe.
Okay, total non sequitur and very weird to get off on a tangent at the top, but the one time I've booked a national commercial, it was with Mike Rowe.
Oh,
what
right.
was it? What did he play? What did you play?
It was Ford. Remember, he was like the spokesperson for Ford for a long time.
I don't remember.
The official car of Dirty Jobs.
I'm sorry I don't remember your work, Miel.
I never even got to see the commercial. People kept telling me they saw it. I never saw it. I can't find it on YouTube. However, between like takes, right? We're all hanging out in this area. And he was like making such an active effort to be like, who's representation? Make sure you're getting paid enough for this. Like, every single person.
dang, man of the people.
Yeah, the people's champion.
I was like, Mike Rowe, you're doing a real dirty job.
When you do a bunch of shitty unionized jobs, I'm sure you're like, I have to fight for these people. I must be Shay.
Yeah.
What, was he an actor or did he come from the land of carpentry? And
he's just a guy who loves doing dirty things.
Where is the land of carpentry?
I don't know. Like, was he like
some people say it's Bethlehem.
Mesopotamia.
Fertile Crescent.
I didn't know if he was one of those guys like the Property Brothers. Well, no, they were improvisers first. And
they
then
are?
They
what?
Oh, did I just destroy the Property Brothers myth
yes.
that you had in your head? Yeah, they were like improv nerds. And then they also, one's a realtor and one's a carpenter. And so then they were like, we can host a show.
Just like Jesus and his brother.
Okay, listen.
They both started in improv. You're right.
I'm going to need a one-word suggestion.
Jeff Christ. No one ever talks about him.
Oh, there's a movie.
God, you know there's some hip pastor somewhere is talking about how Jesus was the first improviser. Water wasn't always able to be turned into wine, kids. That's yes and.
Every time he asks for a suggestion, it's just about God. Yeah. He does the same sketch every time.
The Sermon on the Mount was just a setup, and he got conned into making it real.
Oh, but epic heighten, though. Has anyone ever beat it?
I mean, I wish that someone had swept the 3-day yeah. resurrection period a lot earlier.
Yeah. It needed an edit. It was getting a little lengthy. Oh, God.
What a delightful detour. We haven't even gotten into this song.
Nope. And we won't be. Today's episode is all about Jesus.
I'm famous for tangents, so just don't let me derail.
Why we want you on.
Are you sure?
The podcast is all tangents.
That's kind of true.
This song is so short lyrically that I feel like we can just do
it. And we have, like, nothing to say about it. I mean, this song just rules. Like,
really?
The
only thing we need to punch up is my teenage brain for thinking about it wrong.
I mean, we can't punch women, but maybe.
Whoa, maybe. Meow.
It's a joke.
Let me just take a hard stance
here. Remember we said
the
Jesus
stuff?
I don't
know where you sit on that side of the couch. I think punching women is wrong.
Well, I think if you are a woman, you can punch a woman.
Yeah, women erasure, Demi.
I'm not here to say anything about what women can or can't do.
Damn it, he has us there.
He does. He is actually one of the good ones, unfortunately.
Oh, thank you. It's on tape.
Just like you're trying to get me to say the N-word, I'm trying to bust you being a misogynist.
No, I'm not. I've never tried to get her to say the N-word, Tommy. That's insane.
Ooh, that's a new tactic white comics have to start trying. Like, I know you want me to say this. It's like, wait. No, none of us. We don't want that.
Tawny, I don't know where that came from. I'm so sorry.
Such an asshole.
That is, we haven't gotten to the song and we're already going to get canceled.
Okay, listen, let me tell you a little bit about it.
Please.
It's by Steely Dan, which is the name of a dildo, if I'm not mistaken.
A vibrator, I believe.
Vibrator. Wow, is it made out of steel?
Yes.
Gross.
Maybe not. It might just be like steel as in cold. Like dependable or like... You know, like a steely.
Oh, like
look.
A micro type vibrator.
Yeah. No, a micro vibrator is tinier.
Asshole. Okay. It came out in.
No, an asshole vibrator.
It came out in 1972, which feels older to me than I thought this was.
Yeah. I think it's a good year for it, though.
Yeah.
Have a lot of favorite songs from that year, I think.
Ooh, hoo, hoo, hoo. It's from their debut album. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah. And if you didn't know, Steely Dan is two guys, Donald Fagen and Walter Becker. However, they always work with a bunch of studio musicians. So the band was kind of just like a revolving door of like awesome musicians.
Yeah.
Including the singer. The person that sings this song is named David Palmer. He was not officially part of Steely Dan.
Oh, whoa.
Isn't that insane?
Yeah. Like, he kind of was brought on to sing this song, I think because these dudes didn't love it, is like the lore about it.
Yep. I have it right here. It says Steely Dan biographer Brian Sweet hypothesizes that Fagen did not want to sing the song himself because he and Becker did not even want to include it on the album.
Yeah, because it doesn't sound like the rest of that album.
No.
Yeah, it also doesn't sound like any other Steely Dan song I know.
No. Well, it was their debut, and apparently the executives at ABC Records wanted them to put it on, and actually...
Oh, because it was poppier?
Yeah, and they like kind of insisted... They even thought that maybe they could have Three Dog Night or the Grassroots record it.
I feel like they definitely didn't want to do this song
No.
And also, like, Steely Dan wasn't a band for very long. Because it was... Because Walter Becker's... Sorry, one of them has passed away. I'm going to mix up...
I believe it's
Donald
Becker.
I thought it was Donald Fagen.
Oh.
Anyway, I don't know.
I'm so sorry to both of these men.
Maybe they're both dead now.
No. One's still alive.
Who knows when this comes out, Miel?
Oh, God.
Although, are you trying to curse someone on air?
No.
Although I will say, we said that about George Bush once.
And then he died.
Oh, my God.
And then he did die.
Oh, I hope they're both alive.
Do you know, on Spontaneous Nation, we talked about Dolores O'Riordan, and then she died, like, the next day.
Oh, my God.
It was so insane to me.
Do you think maybe you did it?
I think I might be to blame.
Do you powerful? Think
that Paul did it in order to secure a good moment?
Ooh, like a good, so that people would look back at that recording and feel weird about it?
Yeah, and be
is
like,
that what you're
whoa,
describing?
That's crazy.
Do you think Paul wished death upon a woman to
oh,
secure
no.
a good moment?
It is Walter Becker. I just looked it up.
Okay. Okay, wait. So it was those two guys who were like a writing duo.
From
and then,
Bard.
And then, ooh, congrats. Ooh.
And at one point, Chevy Chase was in their college band,
oh,
the
right.
Leather Canary. He played
Get
drums.
Out of here. Mm-hmm. I knew Chevy Chase played drums. I didn't know he was almost a member of Steely Dan.
The Leather Canary, the first incantation, please.
That's so wild.
Also, very interesting tidbit. Fagan and Becker were jazz fans who did not like rock until they heard the Beatles. Isn't that insane? For Fagan, Ticket to Ride converted him. And for Becker, it was No Reply. And Becker says he still doesn't like rock if there aren't enough chord changes.
This, oh, I'm
on this. I kind of can hear that.
Yeah. Definitely.
And also, yeah, they do feel like a band that's like, we actually like jazz.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
The chords, I mean, if you ever try to play one of these songs, you're like, what the fuck is like a sus 7 add 9?
Well, I know. And the reason that this song is like, not, I feel like I can play this song. I've tried to learn this song before and I'm like, this is too easy. So that's why I'm like, oh yeah, they, this is definitely like their pop hit.
Yeah.
I can play it.
Yep. Also interesting tidbit, before they made their own band, they were just trying to like write songs for people. And they actually sold one to none other than Barb's herself. Barb
Streisand?
Babs.
Oh, Babs?
Yeah, I Mean to Shine. That's a Steely Dan collab. Yeah, no, they wrote it. Is that not insane?
That is
Barbara
yeah,
Streisand that, Steely Dan collab.
It seems like their work is just all over the place. Like they want to do jazz, but they do rock and they do like ballads, I guess, for Barbara Streisand.
Yep.
Love it.
Personally, I will say Steely Dan hits very close to home for me because my dad has a recording studio. It's how my dad like made a living.
Right.
If you haven't listened to the episode of the podcast with my dad,
you got to, Mr. Jeff Goldblum.
I guess he sounds like Jeff Goldblum. That's what everyone
says. I've never heard it before, but I believe everyone that said so.
But up on the island, he still has a studio, and every single time he has a guest over for the first time, he takes them into the studio, he sits them down, and he puts on Babylon Sisters at full volume. So I have heard Babylon Sisters over 500 times in my lifetime.
Oh my God.
I just heard it over Christmas, like literally every single time.
I want to hear all of your dad's studio stories.
Oh, brother. It's a lot of Steely Dan listening, I'll tell you what.
My dad does that, but with the movie Big Trouble.
Do you remember that?
Wait, in Little China?
No.
No.
Sans Little China. Just Big Trouble, full stop. Paul Giamatti, the kid from...
Frankie Muniz.
Oh, wait,
Frankie
Muniz.
Wait, Big Fat Liar? What's Big Trouble?
I don't know.
Strangely, I did know what you were talking about.
That's
even though
so
you got
weird.
The name wrong.
I do mean Big Fat Liar.
It's a great movie, and your dad has great taste. It is a wonderful movie, I'll say.
I've seen 10 minutes of it every year since it came out. Because I walk into the den, and I'm like, I try to spend time with my dad, and then I'm like, okay,
have you
gotta...
not seen the whole thing? Is this movie like 103 hours long?
It's actually 1 hour and 30 minutes, Miel.
Did you just Google it, or do you know that offhand?
You'll just have to, who can say? Does your dad always watching like the 10 minutes where he gets hit by the car?
No, my dad will be watching the whole thing. I will just happen into the den and be like, oh, it's Big Fat Liar time.
Dads love Paul Giamatti.
Oh, they do.
Giamatti and Steely Dan, I feel like, are universal dad things.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Is that Paul Giamatti?
If you have to ask, then no.
Can you do it again?
Oh, can I do it again? You want me to do it again, Miel? That's what you want from me? You want another Paul Giamatti impression?
Oh, it's getting like Jokery.
Somebody stop me.
From doing your dirty work.
I'm about to go sideways.
Is that a line from the movie
you
Sideways?
Just, yeah. Incorporate his movie titles into your impression.
Oh, you're an amazing Spider-Man too?
Well, guess what? I just saw a lady in the water, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh, what an American splendor.
Is this how the song goes?
Is
this
how
we talk about
the
song?
Okay.
The Illusionist.
All the information I had about it. Is there anything else we want to say before we just get into it?
Oh, I was just going to say that when I was in high school, every single
time. I loved
Paul
Giamatti.
Yep, that's it. Every single time a friend of mine came over, my mom would be watching Josie and the Pussycats in the living room, and she swears she has never heard of that movie.
What?
Yes.
I believe it, though. Your mom probably does not remember.
It was probably just always on whatever channel she had.
Just on, yeah. And it was just like background noise to her.
His mom's energy is like so turned down to like negative two that you never know what she's thinking.
Right.
Ooh. It's actually like kind of stressful because you're like, either you're just like hella chill and cool or you really fucking hate
me. My mom
me.
Smokes weed. She loves a skateboard. It's whatever.
That's pretty chill.
Yeah.
His mom wears a backwards baseball hat so tight, like her eyes are pulled open.
And it says Supreme on both sides.
She had it custom made.
So are we done with the episode?
I think that's the end. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Oh, we got a shout out. Super producer Marissa is in the studio today.
Oh, fuck yeah, Marissa.
Big ups to Canada. Maple Leaf's in the booth.
If you ever try to leave us, I will fucking riot, Marissa.
Okay. I'm going to play the song now.
I love anything that just starts with a Wurlitzer. Yes. That is halfway to me being like, this is my favorite song.
Girl.
I just woke up and I need a cup of coffee.
In my avocado colored kitchen.
I don't know what's happening, but I can't open my eyes.
Lazy trumpets.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care if like you hate this style of music. You have to admit there is something hypnotic about that.
Yes, it's very lush.
Yeah.
And I know like what people call this soft rock or like easy rock or whatever. And a lot of people like to deride that genre. But like some of my favorite shit from this time period.
Yeah.
I think like soft rock in the 80s.
What's wrong with soft rock?
Weird.
That's wonderful.
Well, I think that maybe it's because we all grew up in the 90s that like this was just what the cheesiest radio stations were playing.
Yeah, true, true.
So like that's the association. But when you really listen to it with like fresh ears, it's fucking good.
Yeah, it's so warm. It's so sweet. And the lyrics, now I know, are so like salacious.
Yeah. They got to lull you into a false sense of security before being like, I am going to have sex with one of your wives.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many things. Okay, I don't want to talk about the lyrics yet. Musically, though, I do love a Wurlitzer and trumpet.
Yeah.
I think we're going with trumpet. It does sound warmer, though, than trumpets, right? I bet it's just like a horn medley. They got like three guys
like
in there.
French horns or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
A soprano sax.
It's just a guy going.
It's actually a kazoo. It's a kazoo medley.
They just threw some crazy filters on it. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I love that there's like one pickup before the Wurlitzer comes in. So you just have like 1 second to be like, here it comes.
Yep.
Get ready.
Yeah.
And also, like, to get you excited while simultaneously bringing you down.
Yeah.
It feels
like
I did an up or a down at the same time.
It is an up or a down at the same time. It's a luller, but also, like, this is going to be a little depressing. And I like that it's a short intro.
Yeah, but
I like
simultaneously,
a once around.
Like, we just came off the heels of You Oughta Know.
Oh, boy.
With no intro.
Yeah.
So but compared to that, this is a long intro. However, compared to a lot of other songs from this era, extremely short intro.
Oh, yeah. Some of them would just give you the entire damn verse to be like, here's what the instruments sound like before those pesky words happen.
Right. Can't wait for 8 more bars of this before the music changes.
Oh, the Doors.
Oh, my God. You guys, thank you for the Lord's work you did on that fucking awful opus.
Oh, kudos to
Paul. We just needed to cut it down.
And change all of the words.
And then he goes on to say,
times are hard, you're afraid to pay the fee.
Oh, he's an angel.
So you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free.
Still, my theory about it being a boss could work.
It
up until
yes. Let's track this theory because I think there's a way to make it like child safe.
Okay, great.
Is it not? I mean, I feel like
dirty words.
Yeah,
no, it's
just
a recession.
Dirty work.
Times are hard, right? It's a recession.
Yes.
Times are hard. You're afraid to pay the fee of someone who
it's 2008,
of what I'm worth.
The housing bubble just crashed.
Exactly.
Hey, this to me sounds like a lot of social media jobs. Honestly,
truly,
no pay but great exposure.
Yeah, you're looking for an unpaid internship. Is what you want.
Ooh.
So you find yourself somebody who'll do the job for free.
Truthfully,
I'm
like,
afraid we have an internship.
Oh, yeah.
If a boss was trying to give me a horrible job proposition, but they sang it like this, I might be willing to listen to them.
If somebody sat down and was like, we are not going to hire you for this, but we do want your input, but was playing that sweet whirly underneath it.
Or even just that baby little voice. Like, what?
Yeah.
I don't usually like a nasally register, but there's something so buttery about it. It's just, like, luscious.
I would almost argue that it's not nasal. It sits high, but it's like, you can tell his whole throat. You can tell his whole damn throat is open. I imagine he's saying the song just like,
times are hard. Oh, man.
Like, she sounded so much like him.
That's the secret to it. Because I was doing the punch up and I was just like, how? How do you do it? Anyway.
You just gotta like force your throat all the way open.
Yeah. A little Aaron Neville.
Oh, yes.
Or that's like how he did it.
Teensy taste of Barry Gibb.
Oh, sure. Again, this was
No, no, that's too much of a taste. A teensy taste.
Time's a ha.
When Barry Gibb is reaching down for a lower note. He's like,
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. Also, we do a little bit sound like children AIs. So what do you say? Times are hard. You're afraid to pay the fee, so you find yourself somebody who can do the job for free?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, definitely, this sounds like a job.
I'm sure by fee, he means, like, a metaphorical fee and not, like, going to a sex worker. But it is funny to be like, I don't want to pay the money, so I'm going to instead romance somebody.
Which is a funny thing, because if he was thinking really literally, like, that's so the last, like, typically for women, like, that's the last thing women are thinking about.
Right.
Yeah, they like, want to have sex.
I mean, maybe this is a brag, but, like, I think if I wanted to have sex, there's no world in which I would need to pay for it.
No. Sure. There's not a world.
No.
No.
Like, might not be able to get, like, a 10 out of 10 experience.
You might not get, like, top shelf dick, Yelp, but, yeah, like, you'll get medium dick.
Yeah.
You'll get some Postmates.
Two-star Yelp review dick.
Just what's in the radius.
You get a B health rating.
You get a filter open now.
It's like, look,
$1 sign
you
dick.
Wanna, you want to work for it, you can get dick plus, but you'll settle for the free version.
Yeah.
Dick.
Also, wait, hang on. Are we being heteronormative? Did they ever say that this he's talking to a woman here?
And well, no. I only know because I had to look it up because my husband was like, you know, this is about an affair. And I was like, no, it's not. And looked it up. This happened to me 2 years ago when I learned what the song was about.
I'm so, that was a really long time.
It was so long like, for being not, a fan.
Not to be rude, but like maybe you're dumb.
I mean, I hadn't thought about that, but it could be the easiest answer.
But what if else, what if you're right and everyone else is wrong?
Let's try and prove that.
Yes.
Truly. And also, again, this could be a man getting involved between two men.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's true.
I like that better too.
Who's to say? We're not trying to.
And who says loving is sexual and not just like romantic or friendly?
Cuddling.
Yeah. Truly.
Or when you need a bit of care.
We haven't gotten there yet, but.
It's the next line.
That's something that I feel like when I was single, I would have paid for over sex.
Cuddling?
Yeah, come over and don't try to fuck me.
I've been trying to do have a startup where people come over and cuddle, but they just end up fucking every time.
Oh, gosh. You gotta have rules.
That's why you have to pay.
But then I just start wearing, like, you know, gator shoes and, you know, making sure that people pay me my money on time.
Wait, what are gator shoes?
Like gators, like, for the rain?
Did you mean
gator
Crocs?
Skin. No, like gator skin shoes.
The alligator shoes? Like alligator skin shoes?
Yes.
I'm sorry, my nerd ass went like G-A-I-T-E-R, like the shit you wear over your boots so that you don't get water in your boots when you're hiking.
That's a funnier idea.
I thought you meant Crocs and you thought they were alligator.
No. Gators are
okay,
my...
Go back to your joke. Sorry, now that I understand what you're
gators
saying.
Gators are my spinoff. The joke was just that I accidentally turned into a pimp. Anyway.
Okay, so we have nothing bad to say.
Right. Well, okay.
So far, we're just like,
other than it's confusing.
It is confusing.
It is. It is. I agree with that.
And it does set it up where it's just like, it almost sounds sympathetic. Just like, look, times are hard.
Yeah.
Okay? And you're afraid to pay the fee, so you find somebody. And it's just like, I like knowing what the next part of it is about is like, you really haven't set up the fact that somebody doesn't need to be in a relationship already.
Right. Like, so far, this could be marketing for, like, TaskRabbit.
Yes. Absolutely.
They should just use this in their commercials.
And just
this exact section, yeah.
TaskRabbit, hit us up for this genius marketing idea.
You can get some help on TaskRabbit.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to do the whirly.
This is, like, maybe one of the first songs we've ever covered on this podcast where I feel completely inept to discuss the music because it's all so far beyond my musical knowledge.
Right.
However, I do love that walk down they're doing.
Yeah, it's great.
Oh, I love that, man.
I love a good jam.
Other than that, the sounds... are cool.
Top tier sounds.
Yeah. Vibes high.
Vibes are high. Throat is open.
Throat
open.
All
throat.
The way open.
Clear eyes.
Can't lose.
When you need a bit of love, 'cause your man is out of town.
I should have known here.
That's the time you get me running, and you know I'll be around.
Oh, that's painful to get cut off right there.
Yeah,
I know.
Whew, when your man is out of town? Nope.
When you need a bit of lovin'.
A bit of lovin'.
That's what it is.
Because your man is out of town. That's the time you get me running, and you know I'll be around.
Literally, I think my brain just latched on to, because you know I'll be around. Like, you know, you can take advantage of me. You're paying me not enough, boss. Yeah. And like I ignored the whole.
Or like you live around the corner, so they're always calling you in when someone knows shows a show.
Yes.
Yeah, I could see that.
Or it's like someone, like their employees don't do a good job, and the like infrastructure of your office just needs someone who cares. And the person who usually does that, like your man, is out of town.
Yeah.
And that's the time.
You and your boyfriend work at the same place.
Well, just like your man, it's like, you're my guy. Like, yeah, you're the go-to.
You're my man.
You're my man. Yeah.
Oh, it's like a Denzel Washington situation.
Exactly.
It's my man.
Because your man is out of town.
I love the way he sings it, but also that, like, I just don't often hear male vulnerability in songs.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe in the 70s it was, I mean, more or less common than now. I actually don't know.
I feel, I don't know. I'm not, part of me is like, I don't know how much I'd give this credit for being vulnerability.
Well, hey, even to admit that's like, well, you know, I'll be around. Like, because to me, part of it, and maybe I'm reading into this too much, is that he's like, I do your dirty work because like, for you, this is just using me for sex. But for me, this is maybe something more. Otherwise, why would he do it and feel bad about it?
That's true.
And I also think from that era, you never hear about the man being the mister.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, it's like, kind of a cool inversion, right?
Yeah, like you hear about a guy who maybe feels bad because he's stepping out on his wife.
Yeah.
But he still holds all the power. So in this thing, it's like, in a weird way, he's given this woman all the power.
Yes.
It's like, you call me, I come running. But it's like, yeah, so I do feel like
it's a
little
vulnerable. So he's like a feminist.
Yeah, like, whoa. I think what we're saying is that Walter Becker
David Fagan.
This is David
Palmer. Donald Fagan. Walter Becker.
And this is David Palmer who stepped
in to sing.
Doesn't Donald Fagan sound like a Jerry Lee Lewis catchphrase?
Well, if he wrote it, then he'd be like, women aren't funny and they don't have means.
I marry a 13-year-old Donald Fagan. Women aren't funny, Fagan.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
That was good.
Thank you.
I don't know. I really have never heard ever in real life. I mean, maybe I just like don't know good men. I've never heard a man being like, yeah, I'm helping this girl cheat on her boyfriend and I just feel so bad I gotta call it off.
Yeah.
It's just not something I've ever heard.
That's actually a great
point. Is that
point.
An example of a good man that you would know?
I would say
she's grading on a curve.
Better. Yeah, this is a bell curve situation.
Okay, if we're trying to find something to critique about it, let's take the actual given premise of the song, not my fucked up thought about what it was. And the phrase, when you need a bit of lovin', I've never heard more of a turnoff. So if you guys are choosing
just
that.
The tip? What is that?
A bit of lovin'.
Is that a candy bar?
It's just a gross. Yeah.
It's the amount of lovin' that's
honey.
As soft as. It's just as soft as his voice. It's like, oh, we can just, I don't know. We'll cuddle and see what happens. Might accidentally have some sex. I don't know.
It's true, though. If I were trying to hook up with a dude and he was like, what do you say we have a bit of loving? I'd be like, I gotta go.
I'd be like, this is over.
What do you say I actually leave right now? That'd be so sick for me. My vagina is dry as the Sahara Desert.
Yeah.
A bit of loving. Maybe that's why dads like it. I mean, maybe that's what, like, dads say.
You know what I think is so funny about... I hope dads don't say that. Because they shouldn't get to become dads if... The sex happened from someone saying a bit of love.
No. I think it becomes who you are after kid.
Ah.
And also the kid has to be like 20.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's so it's a lot like, of... They're out of the house and it's like, we haven't done it in a while. What do you say about a bit of loving?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, you must be quoting my favorite song. That feminist's
anthem. Dirty work.
Yeah, it wasn't You Ought to Know from last week. It was.
No.
It's Alanis the men band.
Wishes. A funny thing about this song to me is that because Steely Dan is like a dad band, mm-hmm. and because this song is about a woman cheating on a man, Steely Dan just went out for nights singing to men about fucking their wives.
Yeah, hypothetically, yeah.
It's great.
What do you think about that?
Well,
I think it's hilarious. It's the original version of just people going like, and then I'll fuck your bitch. And they were all like, yes, we love this song.
Yes, thank
this
you
is
for
the
fucking my wife when I'm at work.
Oh, yeah, thank you for fucking my wife.
No, but it'd be like that if the whatever artist that's saying I'm going to fuck your bitch was like, Unfortunately, Tupac. I'm really sorry about this. I don't want to do it.
If the first
makes me feel horrible after.
Yeah, if Hit Him Up from Tupac was all about him being like, I'm sorry I fucked your bitch. I'm not going to do it again.
But she keeps drawing me in.
She keeps letting the maid go.
Because it is like this existential crisis, right? He's like battling with it.
Yeah, because obviously he wants to have sex.
Yeah.
He is a man.
Not all men.
Yeah, don't say that, Mial. I got in trouble on a podcast for saying that all men want to have sex.
Did you actually?
Oh, yeah.
What?
I got so many people yelling at me because I made an offhand drunken comment on how did this get made. I was like, what man turns down sex? Blah, blah, blah. Meanwhile, like, everyone else in the podcast is just saying wildly insane shit. Mm.
And you got yelled at.
Oh, yeah. I got people being like, Tawny, blah, 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 blah. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Actually, I'm a man, and there's been two occasions where I have not wanted to have sex.
There was a lot of that, and I understand their point, but I was also like, am I maybe being held to a standard? Like, we know what show I'm on, right?
Right. You realize this is a comedic podcast.
Children?
Also, I'm guessing that's not the most insane shit that's been said among those personalities.
No.
What about Jesus Christ?
Hmm? Hmm?
I mean, what about Elvis? He's dead.
Haven't you seen the Da Vinci Code?
That's true.
Does he want to have sex?
Or,
there's plenty
the
of
temptation.
Dead guys who don't want to have sex.
Yeah, if anything, the only thing they want is to be alive.
But in a way...
What's more alive than having,
having a good bit of loving? Yeah, and also, I love the idea of him actually physically running. I'm assuming that's metaphorical, but the idea that he's like, whoop, 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 like just sprinting to go back, like dick first, running out the door.
His silhouette, you could see like an erect dick in the wall, and it's the perfect shape.
His feet are moving, but his body isn't.
It's like he leaves a dust cloud behind, and his dick is still there, and his arm just reaches back into frame and grabs the dick before he leaves.
Yeah, the cartoon version of this is even better.
It's
yeah.
great.
This is just truly punching up and up and up.
Yes.
This is gonna be a masterpiece.
The Wile E. Coyote version of Steely Dan is what it should be.
Are we ready to hit the chorus?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm a fool to do
harmonies.
Your dirty work. Oh yeah.
How many vocals are in there?
I think three.
I don't wanna do
I think yeah, it's like three or four.
Well, there's three parts, but there's probably four. Okay, wait. So Becker and Fagan both sang. I know Fagan's on that top part.
Yeah, definitely.
Fagan's the guy who normally sang all their songs, right? So he's the guy on the top part.
I think so. I am not a Steely Dan head.
I'm not either, and I didn't know their names, but I feel like I know their voices.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, if he's the guy who sings most of their shit, then I think he's on the top. I think Becker's got like a middle-y jam, and then they probably doubled and did a bunch of weird shit. But I love a lush, stacked male vocal.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, come on, the Temptations. So I like when white men can do it too.
I was like, what's the correlation?
Stacked male vocals.
Well, Michael McDonald joined Steely Dan later for a few years.
Oh,
what?
Did?
Yeah. He sang for him for a bit.
On certain, on any.
Sounds like a man
being. Are you reeling in the hills?
Just a man being pushed through a garden hose as he sings.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
I'm just thinking of like other white dudes that were doing this at the time. He's like literally the only one I could think of.
What, like this kind of vocals?
Making like doubling and tripling their own vocal to make it sound just like almost a chorus effect.
Oh, I guess the Bee Gees were doing it, but it was with the other Bee Gees.
Yeah. I feel like Todd Rundgren was doing it by himself.
So I don't actually know who that is.
Oh.
So probably you're right.
We should have done a Todd Rundgren song.
Do you know who Todd Rundgren is?
I know him.
Anymore.
He's got certain songs where if you played it, be like, oh, yes, but I cannot name one of them.
Yeah, there was Can We Still Be Friends? There was, you know, the
Can
like,
We Still Be Friends?
Yeah.
Okay, I do know
or
that.
Or like, I don't want to work. I just want to bang on the drum all day.
Oh, he was part of wasn't that T-Rex? No, never mind.
No, you're thinking of Bang a Gong.
I am thinking of Bang a Gong.
Wow.
What an A to Z.
We did it.
But the chorus is really good.
I love it. Because it's screaming that you just want to quit that job at Hollywood Video.
Yep.
I'm not doing your dirty work anymore. I'm not cleaning the bathrooms. I only get paid $6 an hour.
Oh my God. What year was this? 1962? How on earth was that legal?
I feel like that was what minimum wage was when I was a high schooler.
It was like at least
$6.75 or something. Because that when I was that age too.
Yeah. And that's reasonable actually. $6.75 is better than six.
Actually, in hindsight, that was truly insane. That was minimum wage in like the mid 90s, late mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's absurd.
I mean, inflation's taken, but still, like, that's wild.
Back in my day.
Back in my day, you got 2 shillings for a whole week of work and you were happy.
Yeah, I remember I got a job for $8 an hour and I was like, whoa, yeah. I am rich now.
I've made it.
Yeah, it's really hard not to sing along on that part. Yeah.
Which part do you pick? Because I feel like this is one of those songs, this is like Toto's Africa.
Uh-oh.
Where it really, a divide happens in your brain where you're like, am I going high? Am I going low?
Yeah.
I usually do the melody.
I go high.
You go harmony?
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Let's play it again because I don't know what I do.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Yeah, I stick melody too.
It's funner to sing low.
Yeah.
Especially on dude songs when they're singing hella high. I'm like, ooh, let's play a little game. I'll sing the low part. You sing the high. They don't know I'm doing it, of course. I'm alone in my car.
I feel
no, they feel it.
Yeah. No, we get a little rumbly. It's like, what? She's doing the low voice.
I love doing it under Lord songs, especially.
Yeah.
I want that green light. I want it.
Or do you sing the I'm the fool or oh yeah part?
Oh, I do both.
Yeah, both.
Both, right?
You got to back yourself up.
Yeah.
Especially when you're like, it's an anthem for you.
Although, yeah.
Does one of them drop out for the oh yeahs?
Let's play it again.
Yeah, I'm curious.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah.
No,
because even that, I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh, yeah. That's that weird middle-y one.
Yeah.
That one's still in there. If anyone was going to drop out,
wait,
it should have been that
then
guy.
Then I think it is 4, because it's I'm a fool, then I'm a fool.
And then the melody.
I'm a fool.
That's 3.
Oh, but isn't there... never mind.
Is there a 4th part, or is someone just doing, I'm a fool, I'm a fool? Someone
maybe
might just be doing the octave lower.
Yeah,
possibly.
Is this what your listeners turn into? Because this is what I...
No, truly, yes.
Okay, good. Because this is the deep dive shit that I go off on, but then I'm like, does anyone find this interesting?
Oh my God, you should... Some of these punch-ups, man. I did an all a cappella arrangement of What a Fool Believes.
Insane.
Like, I spent, like, 6 hours doing exactly what you were just saying.
Fuck
I was like, hang on, is this a harmony or an octave? That's just an octave. Great, I'll just double that one.
I looked up, like, karaoke versions just for the harmony. I was like, this seems different, but I'm going to do it this way. And I...
Wait, you did background vocals on the punch-up today?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love you.
Yeah.
The background vocals were the most fun part, honestly, because the main thing I was like, when I was like, times are hard, I was like, I cannot figure out how to make my voice sound this good.
No afraid to be free. It's like... Sounds almost like you're telling like a bedtime story.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, but it's a little haunted.
He sounds
it's like a haunted bedtime.
It sounds like the trumpets from the beginning got turned into a person.
Yes.
And then immediately had to sing.
Which kind of is the Aaron Neville effect.
Yeah.
Well, I've never thought of Aaron Neville as a human trumpet, but like 100%.
It's like a human trumpet crossed with like a timid chicken. Like if a chicken was just a little nervous to be on the mic.
He's a bunch of different characters in like a Disney movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what we could say. The chorus fucking rips. And the last part, I mean, we haven't gotten to the bridge yet, which is exceptional.
Ooh, here we go.
But how it goes back into the verse after the chorus, can you just play that last little chunk again?
Yeah.
I just love that, how it doesn't have singing on the last part. It almost feels like lazy.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like
they're crawling back into bed.
Yeah.
Just
like
getting under the covers.
Like he had a moment of being like, actually, wait, fuck this. And then when the music came back, he's like, well, actually, she texted me again.
It feels like they just had sex. And he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. And then he just kind of sinks back into bed. He's like, ugh, but I will.
But yeah. A little bit of loving does sound kind of good.
But I don't want to get out of bed just yet. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to stand for this. I want
also,
better.
Eventually.
Yeah, one day.
Quick question. 1972, I can't even fathom anymore how you would hit up for a booty call. You would have to call on the phone, first of all.
Telegram.
And then what would you say? Would you just directly be like, yo, come over and let's fuck? Like, I mean, texting and emoji use.
You say, I'm looking for a bit of loving.
Yeah, maybe that's why. Oh, actually, that's a good point. Maybe they had these like cutesy kind of disgusting euphemisms for sex because you had to say it out loud.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, would you just be like, hey, it's me. Haven't talked in a while. Anyway, I'm home alone and super horny. So if you want to come by, like, do you leave a voicemail?
I like to believe she's just got like a light on the top of her house that she just flips on and
it's
across
like the bat signal.
Yeah, it's like the Great Gatsby. She's across town, just like, well, that's the light. I gotta go.
Or is it like one of those like spy tradecraft type things where it's like if she just calls his house twice and hangs up, and his wife is like, the phone rang twice, but or I guess he's not married. I don't know.
He could be. He could be.
I like
right.
the idea that she's like, the phone rang twice. And I'm like, oh, I gotta go.
He's like, oh, I gotta go to work. I just remembered. But that's like the signal.
But it's a Sunday morning.
Yeah, the thing's really blowing up at the plant.
The plant.
Gotta get down there.
Everyone worked at a plant.
Everyone in the 70s worked at a plant or at the mill.
She's sending smoke signals through the chimney, and he's just like, if another one comes out of that chimney, it's time to go have sex.
Do you think he ever just showed up dick out, and she was just having a fire with her husband?
Dick out.
And his husband's like, what are you doing here, Don? It's like, I was just coming by to see if you guys... look at me not wearing pants, being a silly billy.
It's just like a really dramatic version of your fly being down. Oh, yeah. My whole dick is out.
Oh, look at that.
So embarrassing.
My whole fly, my whole pants are down. Well, that's just...
That makes me believe that people had to be way better actors back then if they were going to be in affairs.
Yeah, it's like how people had to be better singers because production wasn't as slick. They had to be better actors.
Acting in old movies was better because they had to constantly just pretend to have...
Affairs with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe they sent snail mail. I mean,
oh, that's like some Anais and Henry Miller shit where they would send a letter to each other that they just had to trust their spouse wouldn't open. And then like 2 days later, you show up at her house.
I bet mail was so much more sacred then, though, for this reason.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you were like, don't read my shit. Because that's like where all of it went, right? It wasn't just bills like it is for us now.
You show up 2 days later, it's like, oh, I'm not into it anymore.
Yeah, it's like, oh, the moment kind of passed. It was 48 hours ago.
Or maybe it is just like she knows her husband's going to be out of town at a certain time, so just come over when, like, it's the weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes the most sense that she doesn't actually have to call and be like, hey, horny time.
Anyone, like, older than 50 listening to this is, like, screaming. Tearing their hair out. They're like, you think that we had nothing.
Well, also, though, then they'd be admitting to having had an affair, so...
Everybody wins.
Hey, tweet at us if you cheated, and we'll retweet the best cheating stories.
If you were cheating in 1972, let us know how you did it.
But tell your kids first.
Yeah.
They're grown now. They don't care, right?
Also, people above the age of like 30 are constantly screaming listening to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. No, we're not qualified to host a podcast.
No. Nah, nobody is.
I do
it's
love,
very true.
I do really love the lyrical sentiment, though, just because it's so succinct. Like, I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Yes. Yeah.
That's a thought that pops into my head often in my daily life.
I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Yeah, like if a job is asking more of you than you actually are required to do, mm-hmm. and you're kind of like...
Back to your theory.
Mm-hmm.
No, but even like, I mean, yeah, I guess it, I mean, in the literal sense, absolutely. I'm even thinking like on set or something, if they just like, oh, and now you guys kiss and you're like, what? No, you didn't tell me.
You didn't tell me that. I didn't. This is not as advertised.
I have to talk to my manager. You can't. I'm a fool to do your dirty work.
Here I am. I would love for you to say that on a set, just being like, oh, just going to be another a fool to do your dirty work once more. What's that? Was that a trumpet? Someone bring a trumpet on the set?
There are Neville's in the studio.
You'll never know, but what you will know is my lawyer's phone number. Here, goodbye.
Oh, I love those horns.
Light the candle.
Oh, the horns are back.
The lock upon the door. You have sent the maid home early.
Yeah, I don't know how you didn't know.
Because you sent the maid home early. I'm thinking, like, you let her go home early. You treat her better than me. Light the candle, lock the door. I wasn't paying attention to that. Again, this is selective in my brain, I think. But I really think I would clue in on these occupationally lyrics.
Yeah. Maybe you thought it was, like, just, like, set in like the 1800s, like, oh, you light the candle, you're going in, you're retiring to your part of the store where you live.
You sent
the maid home early.
Okay, but is this woman like live in a castle with roommates? What is the situation?
Light the candle, put the lock upon the. You sent the maid
home early, like 1,000. Oh, the next lyric is about a castle, right? Like a medieval castle.
No, that's a chess euphemism.
Yes, which I think is like the craziest line of this song. We'll get to that. But
I'm just wondering, like, okay, I'm imagining, maybe I'm wrong, that this like woman, let's assume, lives in a house with her husband, I assume.
Yes. Sure.
And so why she lights a candle, I mean, maybe that's just like a feng shui thing. She's like, oh, like I just
thing.
Like to fuck to candles.
Yeah.
If you're having an affair, though, and you've done it 1,000 times, I feel like the candle's kind of like, we don't need
maybe
it
maybe it's like an affair, but she also is, it's like a genuine tryst and not just like, we're fucking. Mm,
yeah.
But then why would you put a lock on your own damn door?
So
it's
no
your
one,
house.
So someone doesn't accidentally come in and mailman doesn't burst in like, I got your mail. Oh!
Yeah. Or if the husband comes back early, at least it takes him a couple. You hear the keys. Yeah. Clink, clink, clink. I've never had an affair. I don't know what you do. Do you set a Home Alone style booby trap so you hear people coming?
Yeah, you put a bunch of Christmas ornaments on the doormat.
You have a cutout of Michael Jordan in the window, just like, just so you can hear.
Take a blowtorch to the top of someone's head.
Just so you can hear your husband from the driveway, like, is that Michael Jordan in my house? We gotta go.
Yeah, now you're talking about how you blowtorched your husband and not how you cheated on him. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's an easier conversation.
Focus up.
It's like, what happened to your hair? It's like, it got blowtorched. My wife was, hey, wait a minute.
What was it for? I was just making creme brulee on the ceiling.
So wait, why do you think she lived in a castle?
Because she sent the maid home early. I'm like, so she's super rich?
Yeah.
He's really painting a high status, powerful woman. This is a character I'd like to play on a television show.
I've seen this show. It's called Billions, but they're all played by men.
Aw.
I know.
We need the true feminist, Steely Dan, to come and punch up the show Billions.
Lady. And it should be called Trillions.
Why?
Because it's getting more.
Oh, so you're not even taking the men out? You're just adding women?
No, I'm saying the lady version should be more than billions.
Oh, just more worth
more? Is this
more?
Like reparations?
More.
Like, what are you saying?
I'm just, never mind.
You're getting very Bill Cosby on me, which is
good. Dude, you gotta be the ladies, but it's the more than the billions. It's the more than lumber, the three more zeros.
If you're going by, like, give you guys more, why not, like, zillions?
Would you?
Why not godzillions?
Godzilla.
You're right. I'm sorry.
We
should have been
more than
less. I should have gone the other way and just been like, it would have been called 700 million.
Stop.
I like that.
Wow.
See, I don't.
Trenchants.
I don't.
Well,
I don't.
That's why we're Goldilocksing this.
Yeah.
We're three bearsing it.
I mean, I do like the idea that she does live in a castle. Because in my mind, she's got a candle lit. This is feeling very medieval.
Do you think that only people in castles have candles?
Yeah.
This is
Enya. This is Enya under castle.
They don't let you go into Bath and Body Works unless you can show them a giant key to a drawbridge.
Okay, maybe this is just me, but I feel like it's weird to make an effort.
That's it.
Wait, for an affair or just... End of statement.
I love the idea
that
your boyfriend's going to listen to this episode and just be like, huh.
Let me finish. I think it's weird. Let me rephrase. I think it's weird to go through all of the effort of like the first couple time sex rituals when you've had sex with this person 1,000 times.
But maybe like that's part of it for her. Like she wants them to set a mood.
Yeah, but I also think there comes a point at which it's almost like, this is how I indicate I want to have sex in a way.
Or you
know
light
I mean?
A candle and it's just like, ooh, the bat signal is up.
Yeah, right. Where it becomes just like boring and predictable. It's like, oh, her candle's lit. Like that kind of loses its sexiness, I feel like, after the 100th time.
I feel like it's truly it's like she wants him to walk into the room and she's like wearing like a nice negligee and it's just candlelights in the room.
I also feel like this sound, I know we've been joking about how they're these woke feminist, but I feel like it sounds like what men think women do around sex all the time. It's like women like candles and they
wear lingerie.
They take light the candles.
The dozen roses I bought them and they spread the petals everywhere.
Yeah. Petals on the bed.
Women are sensitive. They need to wear like thongs up their whole asshole before they take it off anyway.
Yeah.
You can warm up the jacuzzi before I get a little head.
That's good too.
Wait, do you think that he's getting head? I do not.
He's getting, it's a bit 11 and he's getting a little head.
No, I
think
she might be into it.
I don't know. This girl, I think, assuming it's even a girl, again, we don't know. I kind of feel like this is a situation where she just wants to be dick down or eaten out. And then he goes, bye-bye.
It's possible.
It's possible.
I mean, who's to say? Steely Dan, hit us up on
Twitter. Remaining members
Donald,
of Steely Dan.
You know our email.
Yeah, I've been trying to get him on the podcast for years.
I don't think he's still in music.
No, I think they might have stopped.
Even better.
Well,
come on by. You got nothing to do.
He left right away because then Fagan took over all the vocals and does like everything else you know of Steely Dan is that guy.
Yeah, and I think that when they performed Dirty Work after, they had their female backup singer sing a gender inverted version.
Which is so weird.
Well, just
like, just don't play
it. Woman is out of town.
Yeah.
Oh, then that changes.
That's
now it's not cool anymore. Now it's just the standard story I've heard a million times.
Yeah.
I need to have a word with Donald Fagan. Donald, I know you listen to the podcast. Dude, you got to come on.
Donnie.
Come on, baby. Yes.
Now that we've just torn your work apart.
Donnie, look, you're our most generous Patreon listener. Please come on the show.
Yeah, we ask for $7 a month. He gives $100.
And it's weird.
So then, okay, I will say this next verse is the one I actually do have an issue with.
Same.
Okay.
Although, I like...
It gets wild.
It gets nerdy.
This is where I'm like, they're in college. Like, they just graduated college.
This is a Rush song at this point.
Like the castle in his corner, in a medieval game, I foresee terrible trouble, and I stay here just the same.
Fucking dorks. This is a bunch, this is an 18-year-old who is having an affair with a grown woman, and now she's like, you know, this is a lot like when the rook is forced to take the queen, and I just don't think it's a wise idea for us to continue on this path.
How desperate is this woman that she has sex 1,000 times with that man? Uses chess analogies to describe sex.
God, I'm blown away that it's a chess reference.
Terrible trouble.
Also, like, not how chess works.
Medieval game.
Well, also, did you hear the way he said it?
Medieval game.
I assumed he was English. Is David Palmer English? No, they're all from Jersey.
No, I don't
think
so. Yeah. No, I don't think he is.
Medieval.
No, but to me, I'm like, what are you fucking Renaissance fair and like too hard? Like, you don't have to say it that way. We just say it medieval now. It's okay. I know it's spelled medieval.
He just wanted every syllable out of that.
Medieval.
Well, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, if I'm going to play devil's advocate, that lyrical, that sonic phrase is too long for a three-syllable word like that. Yep. Medieval game. Like, to sit on that flat vowel. But I bet the singer got real bougie about it and was like, well, I at least need to
stretch
it out.
This entire, like, simile is very, like, just unnecessary to me.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Yeah. You could have just talked more about the sex. You didn't really touch that.
I foresee terrible... if the only
also,
way...
Also, does he think that chess pieces are, like, omniscient? Like, what...
He's like,
he just lost his own simile immediately.
It just feels like he was like, what is some way that I can suggest that I feel terrible trouble? Chess!
Yeah.
You know how the chess pieces sit in their corners and are like, something bad's about to happen.
Well, I see what's coming.
And you know how when you say medieval game, everyone's like, chess.
Yeah.
I think he just learned that the castle is the one that goes in the corner of the board. And he was like, how do I flex this information?
I have a question. What year was Hotel California released?
77.
It was 77? Yes. Okay, it was way after. I was completely wrong and my theory doesn't matter. I was just going to be like, because that sounds like... I feel like a lot of people started to write kind of like castle shit after Hotel California came out because it was like this queen in a room and people with their knives and blah, and it like they thought it was cool. Or like when was all that Zeppelin shit where he's talking about Lord of the Rings? I mean, some of that was 72 for sure.
I don't think so. I don't think any of it was 72.
Well, Immigrant Song was 1970.
Yeah.
All I'll say is I looked at the Hot 100 of 72, and I didn't see Zeppelin in there.
No. Maybe just Bowie.
Actually, yeah.
I mean, like,
Starman.
Bowie was all over 72. Is that when Ziggy Stardust came out, like the whole album?
Was Starman on Ziggy Stardust?
It was indeed.
Then I would assume so.
That's why I like 72. Yeah. I knew that it was...
Wait, isn't Ziggy Stardust, like, late 60s?
No. Space Oddity was 69. That was his first.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Because the space launch.
Don't trust anything I say. I lie all the time.
Which is a we should talk. No, I'm kidding.
Well, anyway, this is a long tangent with no payoff because my theory doesn't work.
It's fine. Actually, that was the point of it. You know, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey.
You're
I've said that for a long time.
It's about meandering.
And if you were a castle in the corner, maybe you would have foreseen the terrible trouble
that
you had no end to your end.
Yeah, you're right. If only I was a rook.
Also, like, according to this, he doesn't move his castle the whole game. I'm not a chess expert. Per se.
Yes, you are.
Miel, every time you do this.
I mean, listen, I'm pretty good at chess.
Oh my God. She beat the fucking IBM computer.
I wasn't going to say it. But, like, you can move the castle around, right? So the idea
you
that.
You tell me.
According to his simile, like a castle, it foresees terrible trouble, but then it stays there. So the castle knows this isn't going to go well for you, which, like, how bad are you at chess that every game doesn't go well for you?
I'm going to move my pawn here. Oh, I lost!
I lost. Isn't the castle isn't he often sitting there protecting the
It's a pretty
queen?
Key player to protect your king.
King. So he can't move a ton.
No, the castle moves a ton because the castle can move straight as many paces as you want.
I also think these guys weren't really actually avid chess players because they keep calling it a castle instead of a rook.
I mean, I call it a castle.
Like the castle by the horsey.
And the pointy-headed dude.
Wait, what do you guys call him? That's what? Not right.
There's the lady and her husband.
I don't know what you
call it. They don't look like the fuck.
Yeah.
And the children that they have.
You know what goes up at the top? Those are tits.
Look, some people got custom sets. I don't know what you play with when
you didn't have tits on your chest.
Yeah, no, my queen is just a single tit. That's how you know it's the queen.
Yeah.
This is fucking transphobic. I'm sorry.
It's the queen from Total Recall.
What?
The lady from Total Recall.
Is that the three-titted thing?
Sure is.
I only know that because our friend Ben on podcast said that he remembered that cover because it made him horny.
Mm. Oh, Ben. You gotta love him.
I've never even seen it or know anything about it. All I know is that it made him horny.
Ben is like Woody the Woodpecker of horniness. Like, he just kind of like, I don't know what we're talking about. Chess?
I guess. I mean, I don't think they know what they're talking about either, to be fair.
They don't need a simile because it's all wrapped up in this larger metaphor of it being
dirty work.
Like, dirty work.
Yeah, I wish he would have gone into more detail about, like, the other things that are dirty. Like, then I had to wipe your belly off.
Your belly.
I really don't wish she had said that, actually. Second I said it, I realized that's not what I want.
This entire song is very chill, and he's like, when I'm cleaning up my semen.
I mean, really bring the dirty work theme home, you know?
Yeah.
Or, I don't know, like, putting your pants
picking
back on without a shower.
Hairs out of my mouth.
And it was the 70s, so probably true.
Yeah.
Pube trends.
Yeah, pube trends.
Speaking of which, you guys seen the price of merkins lately?
What?
The price of merkins.
Merkins stop going up. We got a big short on merkins. What's happening?
Yeah. It's like the lipstick indicator in like economics.
Get in now.
Merkin stock tells you how the economy's doing.
Or the Waffle House index, which is like, merkins are expensive.
Canary in a coal mine, maybe.
The price of merkins sounds like a really terrible Netflix documentary.
The price of merkin? Yeah, no, that's actually a fiction I'm working on, a YA novel.
The price of merkins.
No, it's like slant on that wizard.
What? That Merlin? Wizard?
Yeah, Merlin?
Oh, it's the gender bed version of Merlin?
Second I started to say it, I was like, I don't remember his name. I'm really bad at improvising.
He pulled the sword out of his stone, all right, and then he put it right back in.
Uh-huh.
Repeatedly.
And that's the price of merkins. Hit it, James. This is also a show.
We'll be right back.
Is this what you wanted from me?
Yes.
This is exactly what we wanted you for.
If anything, it's a little, we wanted more of this.
I feel like exactly I pulled this into madness.
Truly, though, you chose a crazy fucking song. I don't know how to discuss Steely Dan. This basically is jazz. What do we say? Like, cool.
I love jazz.
Sounds cool. All right.
Sounds
good.
So that
was a pretty cool part. Okay. No, I like that part. That part was cool. We're talking about fucking Merlin's pubes. Like, I don't know. It's fine.
Merlin's merkin. Great Merlin's merkin.
I mean, in a way.
What? In a way what?
Hey. You wink, it feels like I had something.
But they don't know that you winked. Okay.
They can hear the wink.
I'll add in the sound.
Great.
Bing. Bing. And then it goes back to the chorus again.
Oh, yeah. And then we got the end
chorus
of the song.
Slaps.
Oh, it's my favorite bridge ever. I mean, is this the best trumpet, maybe, performance you've ever heard? No, this is a sax. This is a sax.
This is a sax.
This is a tenor sax.
You can feel this person sliding into frame for the solo and then sliding away.
Drum part too.
To do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
It just rips in the slowest way.
I don't wanna do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
Oh, it's kind of cool. They say yeah and they say no.
No more.
I never actually noticed that.
It's nice.
It's really good. Oh, I love a fade out.
I
miss
it.
Most songs should fade out.
And have sax solos.
Every song should have a sax solo, and then we go back into the chorus, and then we fade out. That's how every song should end.
Fake in.
Fake in, fake out.
Wax on, wax off.
Fake it. He was doing that.
Fake it.
It's like, oh, I came. It's like, wait, what?
He just spits.
Oh, let me clean it up real quick. Don't look at it.
What? Nothing. Irrelevant. Coincidental.
Hey, it's weird. When you climax, there's a weird spitting noise.
Oh, it's just got a lot of air in my tubes.
In my tubes!
Air in my tubes.
When he comes, it sounds like the saxophone at the beginning of the...
That's what it is! That's actually not a saxophone. That's Donald Fagen coming.
Oh, God. By the way, Donald Fagen, still, please come on this podcast.
Well, no,
all
don't.
Over it.
Nope.
I'm sorry. Listen, it's a cum song. It's not my fault.
Hey, if we were going to stack up, look, how many times did they say the chorus at the end? They said it like two full times around. So, like,
I'm a fool. One, eight. Two, three, four, three.
And they say it in the middle twice. And then most of the words are occupation related. If we really stacked in one hand, how many words are about work? How many words are about sex?
It's a work song.
I think you'll see that work. I was always correct.
Okay, yes. I'm going to count it really quick. Talk amongst yourselves.
Because there's really only, there's very few actual hard and fast, like the word lovin'.
Yeah. I think it's about sex work, but it's about somebody wanting to sleep with someone that is a sex worker for free. He is a gigolo, and he is going to this woman's house and being like, you're afraid to pay the fee, so you call me this chump who will do it for free.
Because, you know, I fell in love with you from your sister's bachelorette party that one time.
Oh, wow.
Where I was hired
years ago.
And I was paid for my work then, but when I saw your eyes, Donna,
I gave you the low rate, and then I realized, why charge her at all?
I was a stripper cop, and you're the one who arrested my heart.
Yes.
Wow.
We've written a powerful drama. Wow.
This drama, I want, who do we want to cast in it?
Sterling K. Brown.
Ugh.
Easily.
Done.
Obviously.
Obviously. Oh, yeah. Sterling K. Brown could deliver the type of
you
gravitas.
You arrested my heart.
Yes.
I'm already crying. That's getting an Oscar.
He was just trying to put himself through nursing school with that stripping money.
He was.
And then turned into sex work money.
Yep.
Which did pay a lot more.
But who is the woman?
Him. Oh. She's a dick in this?
Okay. Juliana Margulies.
I thought you were going to say like Julie Andrews. And I was like, yeah.
Or Julie Andrews.
I'm just thinking, like, who's on TV and popular?
Who likes candles?
Yeah. Oh, Juliana Margulies loves candles.
Queen of candles.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the founder of Yankee Candle. Just a lady, don't know. It's her debut role.
This is the very first show sponsor. It's on the new Yankee Candle streaming service.
For the record, 12 works. The word work is said 12 times.
Mm-hmm.
And lovin' is said once, so.
And how many times did they say dick down?
Actually,
three?
If you listen to it backwards, 17.
Oh,
dick
got a little
down.
Do-do-do-do dick.
I believe they whisper it a few times before you can ever.
Sure, sure, sure.
Yeah, the one thing that does get me hung up other than the fucking castle verse, which let's just pretend that's not in this song because it's upsetting.
Yeah.
Is that you're afraid to pay the fee. Now knowing the full song, it's like, is that to say the fee being like break up with your spouse?
Yeah.
Oh,
I
that's
do think
the
it
fee.
Is, yeah, like metaphorical.
In like, which case, like, I mean, listen, I would never advocate for someone to cheat. But on the other hand, it's like, I kind of get it, though, because that would suck.
Yeah.
What, breaking up with what?
Breaking up with somebody that like things are fine and you've been together for fucking years and like you don't really love each other anymore. But like. You gotta tell him, hey,
like
I'm cheating on
you. Most like cheating.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not advocating for it.
On it the sounds other hand, like you are.
On the other hand, I do understand it. I mean, I'm trying to say I get why she'd be afraid to pay
that
fee.
You're about to get so many DMs.
Yeah, man. It very much sounds like you're trying to drop some hints.
Hey,
so listen, if my boyfriend's listening to this, maybe skip for about 3 minutes.
I think there was a time, so when my husband and I got married, he's a drummer and we met in a band. And so we played.
Kind of like Chevy Chase.
Yeah, kind of like Donald Fagen and Chevy Chase if they had then gotten married.
We don't know.
We wish.
Songs
about Chevy Chase. All right.
It changes the whole thing.
Please finish your story. I'm dying to hear about your cool-ass relationship.
Well, I was just going to say that I think there was a time because we played at our own wedding and we like had our
Wait,
band.
What?
That's the coolest.
God damn it.
All I ever want to do is just like sing and try to play hand percussion in a wedding dress.
Oh
That's
God.
Really all I ever want to do. So I was like, we'll play. Our friends will play. We'll jump on and off stage. It'll be really loose. And I think at one point I pitched this song. And I think we got married 5 years ago. So I believe my husband went on record to tell me then that this was not an appropriate song for a wedding.
Oh, yeah, that'd be a curse.
And I blocked it out. And then literally 2 years ago, I think I really learned. I confronted it for myself.
If only you had punched it up then, you could have performed it anyway.
Yeah.
Just change the words, and now it's about, I'm going to fold a scrub the toilet for you, because we're going to split the chores in this marriage.
Hell yeah.
I have changed this to a wedding song.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I really can't say anything negative. Like, the only thing is maybe, like, I've heard it too many times, but even then, I don't really feel that in my bones. Like, I still like listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
There was some commercial it was in, and that's where I, like, heard it, like, that, it was just, like a FedEx commercial or something.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It was just, that was when I was just kind of like, yeah, no, this is a perfect commercial song, but it is not, like, the kind of commercial song where you hear it all the time. You're just like, just fucking, I don't want to buy your goddamn packages. I don't want to buy your packages, FedEx.
Do you think that... I think the reason why I always love hearing this song is because the chorus slaps so hard for being sung so soft.
Yes,
and so slow. Like, what's the tempo of this song?
Yeah. Mud. It's so slow.
It's actually mud.
It's actually
mud. The tempo of this song is a nice, relaxing bath.
In mud.
But it, like, I've seriously been in traffic and, like, cranked it when it came on and just been, like, scream singing it as though it was, like, as though it was Led Zeppelin or something.
Yeah. When it comes on shuffle, I never skip it.
After I did the punch up this week, I went for a walk and was just listening to the original just to be like, oh, did I get the harmonies right? And at a certain point, like, it went on to a different song and I just paused it just so I could, like, sing the chorus again. It's such a fun thing to sing.
Yeah. And also, like, if you listen to it without the vocal, especially in the second verse, the horns are in there doing shit that you don't hear in songs like this. Like, it actually sounds like a film score almost. Like, they're just beautifully coming in and out, like, as if it's a classical composition.
Well, it makes total sense to me that these dudes are, like, studio, you know.
Musicians.
They are the, like, and that the writers are, like, they are these people who are used to writing. Because, you know, they tend to be, like, writing teams like that, especially back in the day, tended to be, like, genre chameleons.
Mm-hmm.
Where they could be like, okay, this song is for Three Dog Night, or this song is for this person. And they could kind
of. Barbara Streisand.
Right. This is for Babs. This is for Linda Ronstadt. Like, whatever.
This one's going in Yentl.
And they. They wrote the entire original score to A Star Is Born. But yeah, so then it makes sense that they can, like, sculpt these atmospheric, like, they create little worlds.
Yeah.
Because they're not just like, you know, they're not just like, I'm a musician writing for myself and this is all I know how to do.
Yeah.
No, this is like, this song is truly a vibe. You put this on and you're like, uh-huh, I feel this in my core.
Absolutely. Like, just the...
Oh! Did you just start your punch up?
No.
Oh.
This is just the instrumental.
I was like,
just
whoa.
Swaying.
I was slick, man.
If I was just like, stop talking, it's time to listen.
Also, like, when I think about, now I'm mad thinking about Donald Fagen and how, because he plays the whirly on this. So he sings so well and plays that little, I mean, to start with that little, like, triplety pickup.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Ugh.
It's bold move.
So great.
I actually kind of am sad I wasn't alive at this time just so I could listen to real instruments be, like, in top 40.
Yeah.
I was born in the wrong generation, man.
Man, I'm just an old soul.
Shut the fuck
People
up.
My age, they like things like Ariana Grande and Justin Bieber. Me,
like, ugh.
It's all Steely Dan and Three Dog Night.
Personally, I liked it when music was actually written.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Before
and
it was
like
all
sideways, not
bleeps
vertically.
And bloops.
Yeah. Back when you actually had to hit a note and a computer couldn't hit the note for you.
Yeah.
Wait, are you an AI?
wait.
It's that child AI. It's back.
So I want to say something about the punch-up before we get into it.
Yeah,
sure.
So excited.
Originally, I was in charge of making this one.
Yes.
Okay.
And I wanted to make it, my thesis was it's such a good song that's probably been slept on by a lot of people in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
So how would I make it, like, obvious that it still bangs? Mm-hmm. I would just update all the production to be modern.
Yeah.
So that was my first attempt, and then I realized actually it's going to take 6 weeks and I don't have this kind of time.
Yeah, no, that's too much work.
Way too much work. So then I was like, all right, well, I'll do a mashup because this kind of sounds like Sex and Candy to me.
Ooh, good call.
Right?
By Marcy Playground?
Yeah.
Mm.
So I was like, okay,
damn.
So I'll do a mashup. Let me just check really quick that no one's done a mashup yet. So I Google Steely Dan mashup and one thing comes up, and it was like metalhead.com or some shit. And they repost this, what is it, Danzig?
Yeah.
And
oh, sure.
Steely Dan mashup? Mother, yeah, mashup. And I was like, whoa, this is really good. Whoa, who the fuck made this? And I scroll down, fucking Demi made it.
I had made it, yeah.
I was like, what the fuck, man? Why don't we just use this, you asshole?
There was a few years ago when I did a thing where every day for 31 days of July, I just searched of people I follow the word mashup to see what jokes they made about it. And like whatever fake mashup people mentioned, I was like, I'm going to make it.
Oh, that's so great.
It was so fun. And one of them was Steely Danzig. Here's a little bit of it. I'll just play it.
It works so well.
Tell your children not to walk my way.
Get
out of
here.
Tell your children not to hear my words, what they mean, what they say.
It gives Danzig a little Tony Bennett
right
vibe.
Mother! Yeah, it's like a Vegas residency.
Can you hide them from where they were?
Yes.
Oh, mother.
I'll wait till it gets to the chorus then.
Right? I mean, this is just good.
It's. I really enjoy this one.
Someone should consider covering this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Danzig, if you want to cover it.
Hit us up.
Yes,
I've inserted myself in this.
We have the rights to
it now.
You're
part of this now.
Wait, I have a question. Did you search that someone came up with just based on the portmanteau of Steely Danzig?
That someone, yeah.
One thought these songs should...
No.
No, that was what most of them were. Like, someone did, like, Hoobastankonia, and I was like, okay, I'm making Hoobastank and Outkast mashups now. And it was just a lot of portmanteaus, and I'm like, well, that, I'll make it. And
oh,
it was
that's
very fun.
Genius.
Yeah.
I don't know how you have the time for this shit.
It's very easy. I did one a day.
Oh my god. But being the overachiever you are, you were like, no, I'm gonna do an additional second punch up.
I had another idea for one. And what I will say about this is I had a similar thought to yours originally.
Oh, really?
Because every time I hear this song, I imagined like a reggae band covering it and it called Dutty Work. And so for like ages in my like that's not what I did, but in my head I'm just like I hear like I'm a fool. And I just like think that's like, I was like, that'd be a cool thing, too.
That would be so cool.
It's not what I did.
Okay.
What did you do?
But I think what I did needs no introduction. I'll just play it. Yeah. It speaks for itself. Left the whole intro in.
You got to. You respected what was good about it.
Absolutely.
Times are hard and you're afraid to pay the fee. But don't call somebody's partner just to ask if they would cheat.
Very true.
When you need a bit of loving and you flirt it all you can. If you'd rather just do nothing, why not use your trusty hand?
Oh, I see.
I'm about to do some jerking off. Oh, yeah. Everybody should try jerking off. Why did no one tell me about jerking off? Hell yeah.
No one tell you about it.
Door is closed. There's a sock upon the lawn.
Uh-huh.
You might hear a constant squeaking, punctuated by a sock.
Demi.
Browser mode is incognito. Got some headphones from the mall. Don't ask why the lotion's missing from the bathroom down the hall.
Okay.
Debbie.
So wait, now you're jerking off.
Oh, yeah.
Instead of telling the woman to jerk off.
Yeah.
Correct.
You're like, don't call me.
I'm saying everyone should be jerking
everyone
off.
Everyone should do it. It's equal opportunity.
This is a jerk off anthem.
Hell yeah, it is.
This is a jerk off PSA.
Still find a way to make it about a boss.
Well,
ooh, I like that bass line.
Right now. Yes, believe I did some jerking off before. You need sex when you've got jerking off. Oh, yeah. Stop the song, I'm going back to jerking off.
Oh, wow.
Doing the Lord's work.
Mm. You really did. I mean, you fixed it.
I did.
Kids didn't know, and now they do.
If you've been at home just being like, I don't know what they're talking about when they joke about jerking off, now you know.
Now you know. Lotion.
Locking the door.
Browser on private.
Put a sock on the door so people know.
Uh-huh.
Wait, no. Don't do that if you live at home.
No, because then people know.
Sure.
You want your mom to know you're jerking off in there? I don't think so.
Got some headphones from the mall.
That's true.
Yeah.
I also thought the sock on the door was like for dorm rooms when you're like hooking up with somebody.
Yeah, it might be.
But do you do it if you're just... If you do that and then your roommate comes in after you take the sock off and they're like, there's no one here. Is that weird?
It's like, I just wanted some
privacy.
Only
if you're ashamed of self-love.
You're right. Don't be ashamed. This is very sex positive.
Correct.
This is a self-care anthem. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That's what we stand for here at Punch
Absolutely.
Up the Jam. More like punch in your hand.
Punch in your hand.
That's what you call it, right?
Also got this little drop for anyone who wants it.
I'm about to do some jerking off. Oh, yeah.
Please send
Demi.
Me that.
Demi. That's my new ringtone.
Every time
you get a call, it's like, hello? Let me...
Can we put that up for download on the Patreon?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, God. That's a fantastic ringtone.
Yeah. Oh, please set that to your ringtone.
Oh, my God.
Just so you get a call in a very public place and you just don't explain it.
I'm really impressed for, like, a non-musician how good those harmonies are.
Thank you.
I was, full shade to expecting there to be one kind of off.
Oh.
And I was going to be like, I don't say anything about it. He worked really hard.
There's a bunch of them that are off if you listen closely. And I just
no,
was kind
nothing
of like,
sounded like jarring though. It sounds really good.
Thank you. I did so many takes before just going like, this is what I'll settle on.
No,
well,
it sounds great.
It's hard to hear. Did you listen to any? I know sometimes you get isolated tracks of stuff.
There weren't any for this one, but I did find like karaoke versions with the tracks isolated. And I just listened to the harmony of that, which is why I thought there were three and then the lead. But
that must have taken you for fucking ever.
Maybe you might be right. There's three in the lead.
You record each one, and then I was like, okay, and that's done.
I'm really impressed.
It's really good.
Thank you.
It really made me happy. I like hearing a punch up and a parody type thing that still preserves what's great about the song.
Right.
And jerking what's off. Great about the song is the music.
Correct.
You omitted any talk of castles and candles, which I think we all agree is the weak points.
Weak points of the song. And you included a lot more jerking off, which were the strong points that I had to imagine previously.
I should have had something in there just like a game of something. Like just something about jerking off.
Game of dominoes. Gotta get the numbers right.
Like when playing Guitar Hero, you gotta touch the buttons right.
Yeah, that's good.
And use all five fingers.
And you use all five fingers.
And hit the button when it's light.
Yeah. There you go.
Like some dragons in their dungeons.
You gotta beat it really hard.
Master.
Yeah. Bait. There we go.
Bait.
You're the master, they're the bait.
Yep.
Yeah.
Wow. Punching up the punch up.
Hey, man.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah.
I'm about to do some jerking off. Oh, yeah.
Ooh. If I ever have roommates again, that's what I'm playing before I go to my room.
Or if you ever get in a fight and say, I don't want to have sex right now, but.
I'm about to do some jerking off. Oh, yeah.
I think that's actually a great way in a long-term relationship to just be like, hey, don't come in the bedroom for a little bit. I don't want to fuck, but I also don't want you to come
just
in. This is a me time.
So here's another fun story. Because of how catchy the melody is, after recording the punch up, I had it stuck in my head, but I had my version.
Uh-huh.
So I was just walking around at the CVS down in the Beverly area going, I'm about to do some jerking off at the fucking my full volume. And at one point, I made eye contact with a lady on a bus bench and I just went, ah.
Wait, you sang that out loud though?
That's your
mistake.
It's so catchy. I had headphones in. I was listening to the punch up, just going, I'm about to. Like, it was on a busy street. I was like, no one will fucking hear me.
I had a song that I wrote once at Second City in Chicago that never made the show, but we rehearsed it so much trying to make it work, called Black Hole Foods.
Is that a parody of Black Hole Sun?
No, but it was about how Whole Foods in Chicago was like all in the white neighborhoods of town at that time. Now there's some on the south side, but it used to just be they were like only full of white people. But I was like, but black people, there's like tons of black vegans, and like so black people will come to like the closest one to the south side. So I made this whole fantasy land about this like very black Whole Foods, but there was this one lyric that was like this real belted out Luther Vandross lyric that was like, black people always making it hard. And my white castmates, we rehearsed it so much. My white castmate Steve Waltin confessed to me once that he was in Starbucks just under his breath, just like, black people always making it hard.
See, now it's not funny anymore.
No, it's not. And then imagine trying to explain that context. Like,
yeah. I'm a comedian. See, listen, and I have this black friend, and she wrote this song.
I probably.
I also, while recording it, because I would record it at like 11, and I would hear my roommate Gabe come home, and I just was screaming, I'm about to do some jerking off, like through the walls, and then like you'd hear like a, I'm about to do some. And I was like, I will not. I'm just staying in my room for the night. I'm going to bed because I can't walk out and explain what I'm doing.
Yeah, if anyone can understand it, though, it's Gabe Gundacker.
Exactly.
Who does the exact same thing.
But like his are A, more beautiful, and just always like not. He's not talking about jerking off.
Adult virgin. Like, right. He can't complain.
That's true.
There was another lyric to that song I wrote. I just remembered that it was even worse that somebody said they got caught singing out loud.
Oh, no.
This is exactly what's wrong with black people.
Oh, my God. But part of you delighted in this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Making your white friends say this.
I was like, also, I love that it was like that earwormy. I was like, you're right. It was kind of a soulful jam.
Maybe actually I'm a better songwriter than
you
I
You know what
about.
I have to do is write the world's catchiest pop song, but then include a line about how you love to say the N-word and then make me yell sing it.
Just like, nigga, hey!
I love saying nigga in a Starbucks. Miel, your verse. Oh, whoa, hey.
Oh, it's too hard.
The N-word.
I'm just going to put a censor bar over that part and be like, hey, whoa, you yell. You don't. Don't you ever.
Wow, what else is there to say?
Nothing.
We've truly said it all.
I've
said more than anyone's ever said about this song.
I know. Donald Fagen's going to be like bored one day. He'll be like, I wonder what they said about my song. He's like, oh, literally nothing. Tight. So I've got to listen to 3 hours of this podcast.
Right. I really wanted to send that clip to Ben, and then I was like, if he texts it to Miel, then it's
joke's
ruined.
Over.
Yeah.
And he will. Yeah. He texts me pictures of our friend Ben, just selfies, and he'll be like, I just jerked off. And I'm like, cool, Ben.
Everything we say about Ben makes him sound like a sex offender.
No, it's not creepy when it's from Ben.
Right.
It's very funny.
It's not creepy when I get these unsolicited reports on his jerking.
No, because then he'll also send me a selfie and goes, I just put on sunscreen. Like, it's just, he's just got something a little wrong with him.
Miel told me that whenever I have sex, I should send her a photo of our friend, like this one photo of our friend Ben, where he's just like lowering his shades, like in Risky Business.
That's hilarious.
And you've never done it.
Yeah, I sort of was like, no, I'm not going to do this.
That's fair. Boundaries are good in a friendship.
I honestly respect both the want for the picture and the denial not to. I respect both positions.
Thank you. Should we get to Unpunchable Jam?
Plus, you'd be getting that photo a lot.
Okay, let's relax. Let's relax.
You can't punch this.
Tony, do you want to lead us off and shout out a good-ass song?
I had a really hard time. There are some songs. First of all, there are songs by artists that I love that I was like, it's got to be this. And then I listened back and I was like, now that third verse got to go. but then I was really torn. Okay, I'm going to go with my gut. My gut says that the Meters version of Wichita Lineman is unpunchable because they basically already punched it up by covering it.
Ooh. I am a lineman for the county, and I drive the main road, searching in the sun for another overload.
Oh my God, it's so amazing. Okay, so it's a Jimmy Webb tune. Jimmy Webb wrote a bunch of stuff for Glen Campbell, and so Glen Campbell made the song like famous, I guess. But then, tons of people have covered it, but I feel like the Meters version is better than all of them. One, because it's like black people doing this kind of like country song and making it kind of like funky. It's also really slow. This song has been called the first existential country song, which gives me shivers.
Mm. I have chills.
Because it's like, so all country music up until that point was about like, woe is me, my life, my dog, my wife, etc. And you could say it's still, many of mainstream country still is like that. But this song was one of the first ones critics have said that actually like looked outside of themselves and imagined what life was like for this other person.
Right.
So Jimmy Webb saw this telephone repairman in Kansas when he was on a bus and was like, oh, I wonder what that guy's like. Life is like, and then wrote this song about it. So the idea of like a self, like an existential country song gives me chills. And then having black people redo it It's like one of my most favorite songs. I think it's perfect.
Oh, I'm so excited to listen to it. It's a thank good one you. For the playlist. Oh, my God. Demi, do you want to go next or me to go next?
You go next.
Okay. I, for no reason at all, wanted to choose a song from the same year. Go figure.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
A little spoiler why I knew Hot 100 from 1972. And I had to choose a song that I've been thinking a lot about recently because the damn string section in this song, I just think is like one of my favorite little phrases. And it's "How Can You Mend a Broken Heart" by Al Green.
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like, I remember better than you. Like, it's just... It's just, everything about it. I mean, maybe Al Green, like, did some bad things, I don't know, but, like.
I mean, everyone before 2004 is a monster.
You're gonna have to throw out all your records if we start.
So, like, let's say it's fair enough back, it's okay, right? It's just, like, I love the way his voice sounds on this track. I love the way the music sounds on this track. I just love Owen, how can never see the way, like, that organ comes in under it. Yeah. Oh, I just think it's like the most beautiful breakup song.
The Bee Gees cover is fucking phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't like the Bee Gees?
You don't like it?
Nah, I like it a person.
Lot. Oh, really?
Sometimes they're really, the Bee Gees are either like fucking on it or it's real trash.
I like, think.
Hot and cold.
Yeah.
Hot and cold.
They have two songs that I really, really love. And then in, as far as like Staying Alive and like the greatest hits go, I'm just like, music of this is fantastic. The voice, whatever.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I feel like it's just a real acquired, little taste.
Yeah.
Mm, like kombucha.
Yeah.
The Bee Gees are the kombucha of music.
What's your unpunchable jam, Devin?
My unpunchable jam is a jazz song by Kamasi Washington, and it's called Street Fighter Moss. It's from it has nothing to do with Street Fighter. It's an instrumental song, but it also just has this incredible chorus behind it. It's like, and I just, like, love, like, haunting choruses, I think.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it's just such a great jazz song. It's, like, 5 minutes. It has so much great instrumentation and, like, builds in a way in the beginning. It's got this, like, I want to call it, like, a keyboard bass, but it's just, like, wow, 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 that it starts with, and it's fucking fantastic.
I love when you imitate instruments with your mouth.
Very much gave me, like, keyboard bass,
yeah,
though.
Yeah,
I know what
I think
doing.
The thing is, if you hear the song, you'd be like, oh, pretty accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
It just sounds like a frog burping.
One more time?
Yeah.
Wah, wah, wah.
That's at the, like, Budweiser campaign from the late 90s.
Yeah, I'm Spuds McKenzie talking. Crack over the Budweiser.
I'm a Clydesdale horse.
Was
a they were in a campaign too for a while.
Super Bowl commercials every year.
It's not a bass. It's the guy from Jungle Boogie.
I think that's Heineken though.
What, the Clydesdale horse?
Aren't they the Heineken?
No, commercial? That's Budweiser.
It is.
Yeah,
they had frogs and horses.
They never had too many frogs. Animals. What are you talking about?
Budweiser. Those were frogs.
I don't know what that is about.
What do you mean you don't know?
Oh my God!
I don't know what the frog is.
Why?
I think he's a teensy bit too young.
Yeah, I didn't start drinking Budweiser till I was like 10.
I was drinking Budweiser. I was cracking them open, listening to Dirty Work.
Oh, you were doing Budweiser? I was doing Bud Lights.
I guess I was technically doing Miller High Life, the champagne of beers.
Thanks to our sponsors, Miller.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to our sponsors, the Midwest.
I think Kamasi Washington is a fucking incredible jazz musician. This song sounds like a very cool, like, heist thriller kind of song.
Oh, of course you like it.
Of course. I love heist thrillers. I love jazz. I love any song where you got a haunting chorus. I love
instruments that sound like frogs.
Burp bass.
Burp bass.
Give me a burp bass.
Are you a big jazz head?
The thing is, I always joke about jazz, but then when I think about it, I'm like, no, I actually do really like jazz a lot.
Well, it's easy to, like, poke fun of. I always used to make fun of jazz because I just, sometimes, you know, it sounds like somebody threw a bin of dirty dishes down the stairs because it's just like, but then, like, somebody sat me down and just, like, played me a Dave Brubeck album.
That
and
sounds
I was
like a nightmare, but also
shit.
Wonderful.
Was their name Ryan Gosling and were you in the film?
Does that really happen in that movie?
He makes her go to a jazz club.
Oh, but it's not specifically Brubeck?
No.
Okay.
That'd
is
be
it
funny.
Made up shit?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then John Legend is in it. Listen.
Oh, it's a great film.
Listen.
I genuinely think it's fantastic. I won't get into this.
We don't have to. I haven't seen it, so I don't get to have an opinion on it.
I think you do.
You do get to have an opinion on it.
I think you do.
I love Dave Vivek, though.
This has been the most fun, just like completely abstract fucking episode ever.
Everyone says that to me when I guest on a show. They're just like, this was crazy.
But you're also like, as far as I know, like the queen of podcasting. So clearly people like it.
No, no, no. I just, for a long time, I didn't have a job. And people would ask me and I'd say yes. And I never said no to a person.
Where can people find you and listen to you more?
You can find me at Trondi Newman on all the things.
Neither of which are your names.
No, my
name is just so confusing.
Trondi Newsome. Look, I did it back in a time when I didn't really think that it would be necessary for your career to be found on the internet. But you can find, you can figure it out, right?
Trondi Newman.
And I'm the co-host of Yo, Is This Racist? Listen to that. Listen to The Supergroup, my show where we take, we write songs in a week. We write original songs with my co-host Alex Kleiner and I get a comedian and a musician. And then the four of us, who, because Alex and I are both of those things, the four of us write and record an original song over 7 days. And then we kind of like detail the process. It's sort of like reverse engineered Song Exploder, but also funny because there's comedians
in
it. Oh,
my God. That's like a much more qualified version of this podcast.
They're not comparable in any way.
It's a less derivative version of this where we are just, you're like, let's create something original. We're just waiting for the first person to.
You guys are being way too humble. And do you ever imagine that any white men who sit around and have improv podcasts talk about how similar their premises are? No.
Oh, yeah.
They're all just ours is the most original shit. So is ours.
We just talk about what it's like to be a bro.
Maybe Drew. Maybe we are, you know, all collectively conditioned to be harder on ourselves. Good point.
Yeah. And also the podcast, there's too many podcasts. So
there's too many podcasts. There should be four.
No one's qualified to run them.
One true crime, one comedy, one about dudes just talking, and then one that's like, I don't know.
Maybe ladies talking. You did miss that.
That was the true crime one.
Yeah, just two good friends goofing about real murders.
Women only get to talk about women getting murdered, I see.
Whoa, said anything about women getting murdered?
Well, no one
cares
if dudes
got murdered.
Have
you listened to that podcast?
Whoa, who said anything about a specific pot? You're the one who's putting words in my mouth.
Sorry.
No one's throwing poison darts at a very specific, hugest podcast in the world.
Absolutely not. And I wasn't. I genuinely wasn't.
What are you guys talking about? I was just going to shout us out on Twitter, and then you guys started talking, and I was like, what? Punch Up the Jam, Instagram, and Twitter, and Patreon.
Look, Miel, you're just jealous because you clearly copied my 6-episode Stitcher show, The Supergroup.
I did. I'm really sorry. I'm glad we had you on, though, to reburn the bridge.
Yeah, the bridge is burned.
It's for the second time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great.
But yeah, now that thing is out for free, so people who didn't want to pay for Stitcher, you don't have to. It'll be on your wall.
It's probably a bad time to reveal that our original title for this podcast was The Big Herd.
It was, and I was like, Demi, no one's going to know what that means, but it was a great double entendre.
Wait, I don't get it.
Supergroup, he was doing two synonyms.
Okay, I get
it now.
And then
Herd, also H-E-A-R-D.
Okay, I hear it now.
Yeah.
So we need to do this thing called improv. And
Uh-huh.
Tony, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you for having me. Steely Dan for life.
Dan for life.
Steely Dan. Oh, that's the hashtag for today. Steely Dan for life. Get your flags up in your castles and...
light them candles, baby.
Light them candles.
See you next week.
Enjoy the game of chess.
Okay, that was
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.